Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen? So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. God, my King, you are God, my King. I worship you, for you are seated on your mighty throne. I lift up your name and give you praise. Your kingdom rules over all. Your kingdom agenda is to advance your rule. The visible manifestation of your comprehensive rules over everything. You sit high and lifted up, enthroned above everyone and everything. You are King. I humbly bow before you to offer you my praise, honor, and admiration. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
I am the one who spoke into nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. just who I am. Just let me be who I am to you. And consider when God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed, but you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. But racking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but. And say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
I am.
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell him who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can be healed.
I am.
Amen. God, my King, I ask for your pardon of forgiveness for not always giving you the honor due to you as King. Please forgive me for the many times I have pressed my own agenda rather than advancing your kingdom agenda. Grant me mercy, God my King, for seeking to reign where you should rightly reign, and for turning to my own ways rather than to yours. Forgive me for not using your word as a guide in every decision I make. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to call 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. Amen. Praise be to God. So a family that prays together stays together. Amen.
When you had enough, no time for messing around. Your money gets funny. Keep holding your head up high. Through the good times and the bad times, you should be thankful just to be alive. A family that prays together, stays together. So let's live forever. Pray together. When I think about it, we come a long, long way. I'm oh so grateful. Bless each and every day.
I'm not afraid.
Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Continue to Trust. And the scripture reading for this devotional message is coming from Romans chapter 8, verse 28, says, God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God. Amen. Praise be to God. God could have stopped what happened to you, but he did not. After all, the Lord is all powerful. Everything in creation is under his authority. And because he did not intervene, there are doubts plaguing your thoughts. You know Jesus loves you, but now you wonder what all that means. You trust his promise to provide for you, but the unknowns are so great that fear has infected your heart. All you know at this point is that there are more questions than answers. Sometimes there are no easy solutions, especially when the pain is profound. However, what we can know for certain is that our Heavenly Father is good and loving. Absolutely nothing touches our lives without some benefit. However cloaked in mystery it may be at the moment, God wants to teach us, refine us, and transform us into his image. He does not forget or forsake us. Rather, in all things, he is ready us for his greater blessing. He is ready us for his greater blessing. So do not lose heart today. Do not give in to your doubts. Hang on to the truth that God is still involved in your life and you will still matter to him. And trust that somehow he is working all of this out for your good, because he undoubtedly is. Amen. To God be the glory. Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I will trust you. Amen, amen, and amen. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is unto me. So again, at this time, I will play another selection, and at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson in basic theology. So right now, we are going to open up our hearts and let Jesus come in. Amen? Praise be to God.
You might be sitting there thinking to yourself, where is my God now? So many hypocrites professing to be Christians, lying and gossiping in the church. But I'm here to let you know that it starts with you, because all it takes is the anointing to make a difference. Now listen. love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And second, you should love your neighbor as yourself. You know, you don't have to look far to find your neighbor, because right here in church, someone is hurting. All you have to do is throw your arms around them and open up your heart and let Jesus come in.
Let us spirit,
oh,
come in.
Oh,
yeah.
God, my King. I come before you with thanksgiving and extol you with praise. You are the great King above all kings and the great God above all gods. I enter your courts with thanksgiving and come into your presence with a heart of gratitude. Thank you for choosing me as an heir to your kingdom, for making me a child of the King by virtue of my relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. I am entitled to all the spiritual blessings you have for me in your kingdom. Thank you for your abundant favor. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
To go at the fork of the road, living day by day, so life goes. Never sing, never, or come what may. Rising up to a blessing, prayer changes things, trying to make tomorrow better than today. Yesterday's rain brings hope of a Sunday. Come what may, for there's a greater power, and on the right hand of the throne he reigns. Prayer changes things, prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh.
Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. while I'm facing, do not disturb. Every person needs a good word. I wrote it off on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. This advice is wholesome and good. With half a brain, it should be easily understood. It's worth more than silver and gold. Listen close as wisdom unfolds. Fools think they need no advice, but wise men will listen twice. A fool is quick-tempered and cruel, but the wise maintain and stay cool. Truth stands the test of time, while lies get exposed like crime. I'm in the studio promising I'll be a key in changing lifestyles. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm teaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. Spoil the child if you spare the rod. Teach your kids to obey God. Discipline kids at an early age, and it'll follow them right to the grave. Be humble and accept correction. Travel your path in the right direction. To work hard being poor means more than obtaining wealth by breaking a law. Wise men avoid a fight, but fools will argue all day and night. Fools don't even think about the facts, cause all they wanna do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless, plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. Your hang up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day, or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me. A better than kisses from an enemy. The wicked finally lose, the right finally win. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace for self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counsel and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open, and taking the Proverbs that were spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
Everybody got around. Time. Come on. Yeah, I'm in a worship mood. And I'm in fighting
Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Miss Barbara. How are you?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm a little under the weather today.
Oh?
Yeah, pain is weakening my poor little body.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah. Yep. Pain all day long, and it gets so intense.
Mm-hmm. Feel better.
Thank you.
What were you going to say?
I was getting ready to say good evening to a caller, but they hung up before I could pull them in.
Oh.
I don't know if it's, what's an evangelist, Colts 929. Yes. Okay. Hold on.
Yeah, her phone is giving her problems, so she might have got dropped.
Okay. God bless you, Evangelist Coates. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm blessed. Thank you.
Praise
Good evening.
God.
I'm glad you came on. Welcome. Anyway,
thank
I'm going to open in prayer.
Amen.
Oh, precious and heavenly Father, it's once more and again, a few of your humble servants come to you. Humble as we know how, Lord God, we want to thank you for waking us up this morning. We want to thank you for starting us on our way. We want to thank you for allowing us to see a new day, a day we've never seen before. Father God, we just thank you for all your blessings, your grace, your mercy, your compassion and your kindness, your generosity, your unconditional love and your favor, most of all for your faithfulness. So, Father God, we bless all those who are on the line. I pray that all those who are in pain and feeling afflicted will soon be, their pain will soon ease. And Lord God, we thank you for that in advance. Forgive us of our sins, those of commission and omission. Bless all those who are listening in our internet or audience and all those who might join us on the phone or in our archives. And again, Lord, we thank you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough because you're just such a wonderful, awesome. Words can't describe how good you are to us, Father. We love you and adore you. Can't do anything without you. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to pick up where we left off from, talking about the fall of man. Chapter 33. Give me 1 second. Okay, my nose must have run.
Allergy.
I don't know what it is. I don't think it's an allergy, but.
But the problem is.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me like some people.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, we're going to go with the fall of man, first chapter. We're at part C, talking about man's responsibility. And number one is to exercise dominion over the earth, Genesis 1, 26 and 28. Theonomists understand this so-called cultural mandate as authorizing man to bring all the world's structures under the lordship of Christ, demolishing every kind of opposition to God. Reformed writers understand it similarly, except that they do not emphasize the establishment of Old Testament law in all its aspects on society today. However, observe that the phrase subdue the earth is not part of the mandate given to Noah and his descendants, including us, after the flood, Genesis 9 and 1. Further observe that the word subdue in Genesis 1 and 28 comes from a root that means to knead or to tread and refers to bringing the earth under cultivation so that the race could multiply. So Adam was to administer the earth and its creatures so that it will sustain the people who would fill it. This was the context in which Adam was commanded to cultivate the Garden of Eden, verses 2 and 15. Presumably, it could have grown in exuberant disorder if Adam had not attended to it. All right? So, two, to enjoy the fruits of this care of the garden, Genesis 2, 16 through 17. And we're going to go back to the scriptures. We're going to start at Genesis 1, 26 and 28. Evangelist Hilda, would you get that?
No
problem. Evangelist Coates, would you get Genesis 9 and 1 and 2 and 15 in that order? Thank you.
Okay. Genesis 1 and 26 says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. And verse 28, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Amen.
Does that mean anything to you?
Well, he kind of like gave Adam authority over the animals. So he was to take care of them. But then in 26, he said, let us make human beings, man, in our own image. So that's when he was thinking to make Adam. And then 28 was that then God blessed them and said, you know, be fruitful and multiply. So after he made them and then he blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply, meaning, you know, and then he gave him authority to govern over all the animals, those big ones, little ones, or whatever that was in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you say that God gave them the authority, who are you speaking about?
Adam and Eve.
No, Eve wasn't made yet.
Oh, no, okay. Then God said, let us make human beings in our
image.
Yeah,
that's not talking about Adam and Eve. That's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Really?
From the foundation of the world. Eve was not created yet.
Okay.
Okay, Eve didn't come along until after Adam had named all the animals. So at this point, he hadn't named all the animals yet. It was just created, remember?
Okay, so you're right. It's the Trinity. Father,
yeah, the Trinity
Son,
is from the foundation. So Evangelist Colton, okay. You read 9 and 1, please? What's okay. That?
And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
Okay.
And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what happened there?
Well, in Noah's case, he said he told him to replenish the earth because there was nobody
else.
Wait.
In whose case?
In Noah.
No, we're talking about Adam.
Yeah, but you told me to read Genesis 9 and...
Okay, in the third part that you read. Okay, God bless Noah. All right, excuse me. So what happened?
So in Noah's case, he told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that he destroyed everything, every man and everything on the earth during the flood.
Right.
Noah was to replenish the earth.
So this was what time?
Excuse me?
What had happened? Why were they not to replenish the earth?
No, Noah was to replenish the earth.
I said, why? What happened?
Because of the flood.
Oh, okay. All right.
God destroyed everybody on the earth except for Noah and his family.
Right. So what happened in 2 and 15?
2:15 says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Mm-hmm. So when God created the earth and created man, he put the man in the garden so he could till the ground and take care of the garden and dress it.
Okay, good. Was Eve there with him?
No, Eve wasn't there with him as of yet.
Right. Good. All right, so that was 9 and, And now we're going to go to Genesis 2, 16 through 17. Zandris Hilda.
Okay. 16 says, 2 and 16 says, but the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die.
Mm-hmm.
So he was telling him, he warned him not to eat of that tree, because if he do, he will surely die. But he wasn't saying that he would die in his body. He would die in spirit.
Right, but he didn't expound on that.
No.
And so why do you think he didn't explain what he was saying to Adam?
He commanded him not to do it.
But Adam disobeyed him anyway.
So it was up to Adam to either obey him or disobey him. And he
disobeyed. So why do you think God did not explain to him what he was saying?
Maybe he thought that he would not eat from the tree.
Oh, definitely.
No,
but
no,
remember, I didn't hear you.
I said that was part of the test to see if he would obey his command.
Right. Because you remember that God knows everything.
Yeah.
He knew that Adam would disobey. He knew that Eve would, once she was created, would listen to what the serpent said. So he knows everything before the beginning to the end. Okay? So now we're going to look at the next section, talking about the test. Part 2. Ultimately, the test was whether Adam and Eve would obey God or not. And that's what you just said, that was close. It was about seeing if they would be obedient. So the particular way they could prove that was not eating the fruit of one of the trees in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In one sense, it was a minor prohibition in comparison with the many trees in the garden from which they could eat the fruits. In another sense, it was a major matter, since this was the specific way they could show their obedience or disobedience to God. By way of contrast, how many ways can we show our obedience or disobedience to God in the course of a single day? In setting a test at all, God showed that he wanted them to voluntarily choose to obey him and to serve him. He did not want automatons.
What's
Amen?
That?
That means
Amen.
A robot. That
oh,
means a robot.
Yeah. Okay,
he didn't
thanks.
Want somebody who would do things just, automatically, without having a brain for themselves to think, just like a robot. You program it, it does what you program it to do.
to do.
So he
yes.
gave us what distinguishes us from being a robot?
We have a brain to think.
Right. Well, they put brains in robots too now.
We have a free will, whether to do it or not. The robot is
there. You go. There you go.
Robot.
Because thank you. Because of our free will, we don't have to do anything. We know what the word is. You may not know all of what the Bible says, but we know what the word is, and we have a right to choose to do the right thing or the wrong thing, to follow the will of God or to follow our own will. Amen. So we're not automatons.
Amen.
God didn't want that. And it says he did not want automatons. That's what it says in the last sentence. Why do you think he didn't want automatons? Why didn't he want somebody to automatically do everything that was supposed to be done and done correctly?
If you have deep love for your creator, you're gonna want to do what he wants you to do. He or she wants you to do. And so when he was commanded not to do it, it was up to him to accept the command or just do the opposite.
Right. So God did that so that we could have a choice. We're not, as I like to remind people, God is a gentleman. Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anybody. You come to him willingly, or you don't come at all. You don't have to come. You don't have to come. You don't want eternal life. You don't have to come.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, you have a choice. He wants us to be willing. He wants us to be willing to follow him.
Yes.
And to follow his commands and to do what's right. He's already told us what's right. We have the Ten Commandments to remind us. Why were the Ten Commandments created?
That was the thou shalt not do.
Why
was
it created?
To see if you would follow his instructions.
Okay, to give us a standard, to give us a standard of what is right and what is wrong.
Yes.
So we know that now in this day and age, we're under Christ. We're under what?
Grace.
We're under grace. So we're not about the laws and all of that. That was just a standard to let us know when we are doing wrong. But we're under grace. Because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross.
Yes.
To save us sinners. Amen?
Amen.
So part three. Any more questions before we go into the tempter?
No. Let's get to him.
Hello?
We're here.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I asked a question. Nobody said anything. Okay, the tempter. Satan wisely used a creature Eve was acquainted with instead of appearing himself. How dare he? Something that would likely have alerted her to the unusual and put her on guard. Satan used an actual serpent. Since the serpent as well as Satan was cursed after the fall. For some reason, Eve was not alarmed that the serpent spoke with her. The tempter addresses himself to the woman probably because the woman had not personally received the prohibition from God as Adam had. And we see that in verses 16 through 17. What does that mean?
She didn't.
That's widely debated. That's widely debated. What does that mean?
She didn't get the what'd you call it? The command from God. And Adam, at that point, he didn't tell her what God had said about the tree.
Well, you don't think she knew by now?
Yeah, I guess so. So then that means she chose. She chose to listen to the serpent.
Right. Remember?
Yes.
This talked about free will. She had a choice.
Right. And she made the choice to follow the serpent.
Right. He beguiled her. He tempted her. He was like smooth with his words.
Yes.
And so let's take a look at verses 16 through 17. I think that's chapter 2 or 3. Let's see. 16
chapter.
Through 17. 16. I mean 2.
Yes.
You want to read that again, Nicole?
Yeah. Oh, we lost her again.
Okay, would you read that?
But the Lord God, warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die.
Okay. Amen.
Pull her back in.
So, she's back?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you for coming back and persevering. So
yes. We
just read chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, when God spoke to Adam and told him not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because if he ate from it, he would surely die. All right? So at some point, which is in the next, it talks about how God created a helper for Adam by putting Adam to sleep, taking the rib out of his side and putting flesh there and creating the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So I am certain that by some point in their relationship, Adam and Eve, that this subject came up about that tree in the middle of the garden.
It doesn't come up in the scripture.
You got to wait until I finish so I can hear what you're saying, because you cut me off. I don't know what you're saying, and you don't know what I'm saying.
Okay.
If Adam cared anything about his wife, and that's who she became, she would have had to have been told that if you eat from the tree from the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And like I said earlier, God did not specify what he meant. He just said what he said. And, again, you have free will. You can believe it or not believe it. You can do it or not do it. You can transgress or be obedient, right? So at some point she was told. That's the reason that when the serpent beguiled her, she said it herself, all right?
Uh-huh.
And that's in verse 3. What did you want to say?
You covered it.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Give me a chance, and I think I will cover it. All right?
Okay.
So we're going to look at the next sentence, really, is that ultimately the test was whether Adam and Eve would obey God or not. The particular way they could prove that was by not eating the fruit of one of the trees in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In one sense, it was a minor prohibition in comparison with the many trees in the garden from which they could eat the fruits. In another sense, it was a major matter, since this was the specific way, they could show their obedience or disobedience to God. By way of contrast, I read that already. I was at the tempter, right?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Satan wisely used a creature Eve was acquainted with instead of appearing himself, something that would likely have alerted her to the unusual and put her on guard. Satan used an actual serpent.
Nobody saying that. I'm talking to Chico. I'm telling him to sit down.
Okay, well, that's why I was saying something to me. Satan used an actual serpent, since the serpent as well as Satan were cursed after the fall. For some reason, Eve was not alarmed that the serpent spoke with her. The tempter addresses himself to the woman, probably because the woman had not personally received the prohibition from God as Adam had, and we just read that.
Mm-hmm.
So, part four, the temptation. Satan's counterfeit. A counterfeit, of course, attempts to come as close to the genuine article as possible while leaving something costly out. What does that mean to any of you?
Meaning that it's not the original concept, or it's like a replica of the real
right thing.
Yes.
Exactly. And they leave something out.
Yes.
Something is left out. If we think for a moment about counterfeit money.
Oh, yes.
It looks real, mm-hmm. but it's something that's missing. The paper that it's on, the ink that's maybe used, something is omitted.
Right.
But some of them are so good that unless they are scratched by a particular pen that indicates whether it's real or counterfeit, it's hard to tell.
Yes.
It's hard to tell. So continuing on, a master counterfeiter, Satan, had previously aspired to be like God, not unlike God, Isaiah 14 and 14. Now he approached Eve with the suggestion that his plan was like God's, but without the restriction of total obedience. When approached with the question whether God had placed any tree in the garden off limits, Eve quickly affirmed that she and Adam could eat of all the trees of the garden except one. And that exception seemed to come to her mind almost as an afterthought. Satan had hinted at the possibility that God had placed two sweeping restrictions on them, and Eve began to entertain that thought. What do you think about that?
Just like a woman.
All right, now.
Well, it's just so weird. We always put ourselves in trouble. When the man said, don't do this, don't do that.
Then
we say, let somebody get into your little brains and tell you, oh, you won't surely die.
Right.
Just try it.
God is only fooling you.
Yes.
And you know what? When they did eat of it, they didn't die right away. Remember?
No. Right.
Not physically.
There you go.
Not physically.
But
there was a separation.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Separated from God.
Mm-hmm. So then Satan proceeded to offer his own plan, which did not have that restriction. The woman acts on the supposition that God's intent is unfriendly, while Satan is animated with the desire to promote her well-being. Satan was attempting to counterfeit the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, to make what God said not to be real, not to be true, not to be valid or valuable, to counterfeit what God said. Satan's temptation may be viewed in the form of syllogism, meaning that there are two things to choose from, as we see, right, what God said, or wrong, what Satan is saying. And the ultimate thing is that they both lead to a decision, but something is not complete, which, again, is the counterfeit, okay? So the major premise was that restrictions were not good. And who likes restrictions? The minor premise was that God's plan included a restriction. The conclusion then was that God's plan was not good. On the other hand, Satan's plan did not include any restrictions. Therefore, it was good. The validity of the conclusion depends on the truth of the major premise, which in this case is not true. And what was that? What was the major premise?
I don't understand that.
Evangelist Coates, you there?
No, she got dropped again.
Got cut again, okay. Mm-hmm. So the major premise was that God had said one thing, but Satan is saying, but it's not true.
Oh, okay.
You're not going to surely die. So this way, she didn't know what to believe, but she opted to believe Satan.
Exactly.
Right. She was told one thing by Adam after Adam had been told by God.
My God.
And so she had a choice, and
yes,
she chose to believe Satan. So restrictions are not necessarily wrong or undesirable. Indeed, the restriction placed on Adam and Eve in the garden was good in that it provided the principal way they could show their obedience to the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Satan's counterfeit plan did away with that restriction and offered the false hope that if Eve ate the forbidden fruit, she could be like God.
Mm-mm-mm.
Having the knowledge of good and evil, she could be like God.
Good evening, how are you?
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome. Amen. So we have part B on page 233, Eve's rationalization.
Okay,
Eve's
thank
you. Eve's rationalization of what she was about to do may have been along these lines. As she examined Satan's proposition, she reasoned that the fruit would be good to eat, and providing good things for Adam was one of her wifely responsibilities. Further, why would God withhold the fruit that was beautiful to the eyes, since he made so many other beautiful things for them to enjoy? And of course, God would certainly want them to be wise. Therefore, it would be desirable, even necessary, to eat this fruit. Gone from her mind was God's express command not to eat it. So she totally forgot about what God had said.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly forgotten were all the blessings he had provided, all the other good things that were available to them, except for that one tree. She forgot about all those good things, all the other beautiful fruit, flowers, trees, and the animals and all of that. She forgot about that.
Yeah.
Eve's mind seemed only to be filled with the rationalizations. The fruit would give physical sustenance. It would cultivate their aesthetic taste, and it would add to their wisdom. Having justified what she was about to do, she took the fruit from the tree and ate it. What do you think?
Woman, stupid woman. Why would she make that choice? I told you, women always do what they're not supposed to do.
Well, that's a broad statement now. That's a broad statement.
Yeah. But still, you know, she made the choice. So I guess Satan's words was much more appealing than God's word. Because
right.
The problem is that God gave them everything. They had everything in the garden to eat. Why
right.
would you disobey
that tree?
Eat from that tree?
Because
why?
You know why? Because
why?
With humans, you know, when we're told not to do something,
yes,
that's usually the thing that we end up doing.
Yes.
You know, it's just that idea that you're being restricted from something. Even like now, you hear these people with COVID, right? They're like, oh, I just don't want to be mandated to take the vaccine. I don't want to be told that I have to wear a mask. I mean, they weren't protesting about the vaccine. They're protesting about the fact that they're being mandated to do it.
Exactly.
So it's like human nature, when you're told not to do something, it's almost as if, you know, because of our sinful nature, we be like, that's the thing you want to do, the thing that you were told not to do. And that's
right.
Exactly what the law did not save anybody. And that's right. What, you know, Paul talked about in Rome, because they were given the law. But the law is what made them sin. They're like, oh, thou shalt not kill? Well, I'm going to kill. You know what I'm going to do everything this says thou shalt not do. That's what the Israelites did. So it's just like our human nature to go after something that we're not supposed to be going after.
Yes.
That's true. That's true.
Absolutely.
Amen. So, in essence, she believes Satan as opposed to believing God. And Satan wanted to be like God. He wanted to have that authority.
Absolutely.
He wanted to have that power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he was competing basically with God.
Yeah.
Will she believe me or will she believe God? And he won in that instance where he went with Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, the penalties. A, on the race, Genesis 3:7-13. A sense of guilt as evidenced by making a covering. What does that mean?
Making a covering.
Well, I'm going to see if I can get Evangelist Coates. Did she come back?
No.
I'm going to see if I can get her. You can still talk.
Oh, yeah. The sense of guilt is evidenced by making a covering. All of a sudden, now their eyes is open. They're like, oh, we make it. We better cover ourselves up.
Absolutely.
They didn't care about that before, but now they feel, you know, they felt guilty.
Yes, because their eyes are wide open.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what happened to this post? She got disconnected?
She kept getting dropped.
Okay, I guess she answered the phone. I guess she didn't want to come back. I asked if she wanted to join us.
Just kept getting dropped. That's why.
Well, if she had gone in the conference call, she would have been on with me. She would have been all right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's look at a sense of guilt as evidenced by making a covering. What does that mean? Let's look at Genesis 3:7-13.
Okay.
Lady Nadine, 7-13.
Got it. Okay. 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed together fig leaves, and they made for themselves coverings. Then they heard the sound of Yahweh God walking in the garden at the windy time of day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh God among the trees of the garden. And Yahweh God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he replied, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I am naked, so I hid myself." Then he asked, "Who told you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I forbade you to eat?"
Mm-hmm.
And the man replied, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate." Then Yahweh God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" Mm. And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate."
Mm-hmm.
Then God said to the serpent, and that goes on. That's not what it says. Yeah. So
thank you. So that sounds like a domino effect. You want to add anything to that?
Definitely a domino effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
He told me. And
right.
Well, of course, right. You know, he's going to put the blame back on her.
Of course.
And
but again,
he
was right there with
the woman you gave me.
Right. She did eat and she offered it to me, so I ate.
Mm-hmm.
And then the woman replied, "Well, a snake can, you know, beguile me." He interested me and that's right. So, you know. But anyway, let's go on to Romans 5:12. Oh, no, we didn't get there yet. Sorry. Part two. A loss of fellowship as evidenced by hiding from God. We see that in verse 8.
Right.
This also brought both spiritual and physical death to the race. Death is always separation. Mm-hmm. Immediately, Adam and Eve experienced spiritual separation, and immediately they began to experience the decaying process in their bodies, which ultimately resulted in physical death. And we see that in Romans 5:12. Evangelist Hilda, when we're ready for that, get that. But let's talk about the loss of fellowship as evidenced by hiding from God. What do you think about that in verse 8?
Yeah, I mean, I like how they explain it like that. Hiding is actually separating you, that separation from God.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want him to see you. So you
hide
it. Oh,
yep.
My goodness gracious.
Like when you do something that you're ashamed of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From the person.
Which implies that you know what you did was wrong.
Exactly.
That's we have to keep in mind that you can't hide from God. They might have been behind a tree, but God can see. God can see everything.
Absolutely.
Like I said, he knows the beginning from the end. He knew they would do exactly what they did, and then they had the audacity to hide.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
And then he proved that he knew exactly why they hid. He said, y'all ate from that tree, huh?
Right. Right. And so did he ask them what they had done, or they just, God told them? What happened? Let's see.
Let's go back.
Yeah. The woman saw that the tree looked good for eating and realized what she could get from it. She did everything. She took and ate the fruit and then gave some to her husband, and he ate. Immediately, the two of them did see what's really going on, saw themselves naked. They sewed thick leaves together as makeshift clothes for themselves. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden, hid from God. God called to the man, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid." There you go. That's the telling point. Who told you you were naked? So God said, "Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree?" That was a telling point right there.
Right.
If he hadn't said I was naked, you know, God might have not thought, he knows, but he still might not have verbalized that you ate from that tree. So he told on them. Adam told on them. I saw that I was naked, so I hid. We hid. All right. Romans 8:20, evangelist.
5:12, did we do that yet?
Romans 5:12. That's what I just said, I thought. Romans 5:12? Romans 5:12.
When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. See, because he sinned, now everybody after him became sin.
Right.
So that's why we were born in sin.
And, okay, let me read what the message says. It says, the death-dealing sin, the life-giving gift. You know the story of how Adam landed us in the dilemma we're in. First sin, then death. And no one exempt from either sin or death. That sin disturbed relations with God in everything and everyone. But the extent of the disturbance was not clear until God spelled it out in detail to Moses. So death, this huge abyss separating us from God, dominated the landscape from Adam to Moses. Even those who didn't sin precisely as Adam did by disobeying a specific command of God still had to experience this termination of life, this separation from God. But Adam, who got us into this, also points ahead to the one who will get us out of it.
Amen.
We know who that is, right?
Yep.
Jesus Christ. All right. He'll get us out of it. He's often called the second Adam.
Yes.
One got us in, and the other one gets us out.
Praise
the Lord.
Amen.
Part C. On Satan, Genesis 3 and 15. Evangelist Hilda, when you're ready. Well, who read the last one? Evangelist Hilda?
I did. Yeah.
Okay, so Lady Nadine, when I'm ready, Genesis 3 and 15. Number one, Satan's seed and woman's seed. Enmity will exist between Satan's seed, all the lost, John 8:44. Evangelist Hilda, get that? In Ephesians
Wait,
2 and
we
2.
Hold it. We didn't do on the serpent.
Oh.
We skipped B.
All right.
We skipped B.
B.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Genesis 3 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
The serpent, and that's what you're going to read. The serpent was condemned to crawl, perhaps as a sign of degradation, and or perhaps indicating that it was an upright creature before this penalty was imposed. Even in the millennium, this posture will continue. Isaiah 65 and 29. Evangelist, will you get that when we're ready? Actually, the entire animal kingdom was affected by the fall in order that man in his fallen condition could still exercise a measure of dominion over it. So first Genesis 3 and 14, and then Evangelist Hilton, Isaiah 65 and 25.
Genesis 3:14. Then Yahweh God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you will be cursed more than any domesticated animal and more than any wild animal. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life.
So what do you think about that?
So I think he was upright.
Right. Sounds like he might have been on 2 feet, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. John 8 and 44, Evangelist.
John, what happened to Isaiah?
Isaiah 6 and 25. I'm sorry.
Right. Okay.
The wolf, I'm looking at the sea as you pointed out, okay. Isaiah 65 and 25.
The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat hay like a cow, but the snake will eat dust. In those days, no one will be hurt or destroyed on my holy mountain. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Yes. What do you think?
God has spoken, because then there will be no more sin, and the animals will be loving and kind to one another like human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So they will not eat each other anymore.
Right.
And
the animals, not human, will hurt. Huh?
I said they won't be eating us humans too.
Right. So no one will be hurt or killed.
Right.
That goes for the animals or the humans.
Absolutely.
Will hurt or kill anywhere on my holy mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What a day that will be.
Praise
Hallelujah.
And so let's look at Romans 8 and 20.
I have it.
Okay.
For the creation has been subject to brutality, not willingly, but because of the one who subjected it in hope. So, yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, because of back to the fall, like because of the fall, you know, all of creation has been subjected to it. Everything was affected by the fall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Most of all, death entered.
Yeah.
Death entered. All right. Thank you. Part C on Satan, Genesis 3 and 15, And I know we're not going to get through this whole thing, but let's start at part one. Satan's seed and the woman's seed. Enmity will exist between Satan's seed, all the lost, John 8:44, Ephesians 2:2, and the woman's seed, all the family of God. So evangelists get 8:44 and Lady Nadine, Ephesians 2:2, please.
Okay.
44 says.
Can we read Genesis 3:15? Because we didn't do that one yet.
Genesis 3:14.
No, 15 for C.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you want to read that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Genesis 3:15.
And I will put hostility mm-hmm. between you and between mm-hmm. the woman mm-hmm. and between your offspring and between her offspring. He will strike you on the head, and you will strike him on the heel.
All right. So, who's being talked to at this point?
It's Satan. I mean, Satan.
Right. It's the snake. The serpent.
Yeah. The serpent.
Who is Satan? It's Satan, but it's in the form of a snake.
It's a serpent. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
So he's telling this to the serpent that he will wound your head and you'll wound his. So in other words, there's somebody over him that can probably, you okay?
Yeah.
That they can step on his head and he is being on the ground and in the dust and on his belly will wound the human being's heel.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to look at John 8:44, evangelist.
Okay, this is Jesus speaking. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of lies.
Amen.
Yep. And he was calling the Pharisees out here. He was calling the Pharisees.
Yes, that's who he's talking to, them.
You like your father, Satan.
Yes. Amen. Okay, and so now we're going to look at Ephesians 2:2.
Yeah. Ephesians 2:2. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the rulers of the authority of the air, the spirit now working in the sons of disobedience.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts?
That's Satan's seed and the woman's seed.
Exactly. So we're going to end it right here. Any thoughts about the lesson?
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
I really see this part of the lesson. I enjoy it because I can understand it.
But right, understand that.
All this stuff, now I get lost.
Yeah. So we're going to end it at part two, section C, part two, death for Satan, rules for Christ.
Yeah, okay.
34.
Ooh. That is so cool. Mm-hmm.
Say that again.
I said that is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
Would you
sorry,
take us out of prayer?
Evangelist Cope missed the good part of it.
I know. When I got her, I don't know if she could, whatever, but it sounded like she hung up or something. Maybe she didn't want to come back home.
Okay.
Lady Nadine, take us out, please.
Yes. Whew. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for
allowing me, Lord God, to come on to this lesson, Lord God, although I was late, Lord God, but just the small part that I came into, Lord God, was just so powerful, God.
Yes.
So powerful, so much packed into it, Lord God. And I thank you again, Lord God, for Sister Barbara, how she, you know, brings this word to us, Lord God, and challenges our hearts and our minds, Lord God. Thank you for this lesson, Lord God. I just praise your holy name, Lord God, because you're so awesome. And the more we get to know you, Lord God, the closer we get to you, Lord God. We understand, Lord God, what it is that you have done from day one, Lord God. How you plan to reconcile us back to you, Lord God, from the minute Adam sinned, Lord God. You had a plan, Lord God. Mm-hmm. And we thank and praise you for that plan of your son, Jesus Christ, Lord God. Lord God, so we thank you again for this time. We thank you again for this opportunity, Lord God. I thank and I praise you, Lord God, for Sister Barbara, Lord God. I thank and praise you for Sister Hilda, Lord God, who got a good lesson out of this, Lord God. But we know, Lord God, that every lesson that we do, she gets something out of it, because there's no way, Lord God, that your word goes out void, Lord God. We may not know it at the time, Lord God, but your word never goes out void. And every lesson that the Father teaches, Lord God, we get something out of it, Lord God.
Yes.
So we thank you. Praise and praise you. We bless your name, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Beautiful prayer. Thanks. I hope you had a happy Mother's Day. I'm sure you did.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it was wonderful.
Beautiful.
The program
was beautiful. Happy and blessed to see another Mother's Day. So, yes,
I really enjoyed
this Mother's Day.
And it was beautiful. I mean, of course, you sang so beautifully for the Mother's Day.
Yeah, right. I listened to it yesterday. The music was, the music,
you can barely hear the music, but we definitely heard your beautiful voice. So,
well, God bless you, but maybe I have to share it. What happened?
I said your voice outshined the music, and it was okay.
Oh, to God be the glory. But I wanted the music to be heard really nicely, but anyway. Maybe I have to share the screen, which is what, you know.
That's the only way. It is.
To get it better.
Clearer.
Right, or to turn the volume up more. But nothing like a little rehearsal, too, to see the vibe, you know?
Absolutely. And Reverend Price did an awesome.
Oh, he really did. Beautiful.
The way she preaches.
So were you. And so was Evangelist Hilda when she gave that heartfelt message after her prayer.
I didn't understand. I was so nervous, and my mouth became very dry when I was praying. And I was like, what is going on here? But I got through it. I mean, like, I didn't say everything that I wanted to say, because the nerves, at that one point, the nerves just took over, so...
But I'm talking about the heartfelt message that you gave after the prayer.
I got a beautiful card from my youngest son, even though he didn't listen to the message, but it's like, in a way, he felt it. And the words that he said to me in that card, and he's like, Mommy, I mean every single word of it. I was
beautiful.
Like, thank you, baby.
That means a lot.
What made me broke down was that my sisters had sent me pictures of my mother's grave, and they were there taking pictures and putting flowers, and you know, I wasn't there, but like I told Nadine, she ain't there.
She's not there.
Yeah. Her body is, but her spirit is with the Lord.
Her body ain't big. Her body, the worms done ate everything up.
Well, whatever. But anyway, lovely.
Okay, we won't get into it.
Thank you. Right. It was lovely on Sunday, and it was heartfelt. Thank you for everything, everybody. It was beautiful.
I love your hat.
And your husband,
oh,
he got
my
that
hat was absolutely gorgeous, and you wore it. I was like, look at Miss Diva.
You know it. Thank you. No. But Lady Nadine, your husband was passionate about the, what were they, protesting at the outside of the church or something?
The you know those Israelites that you see them in the street?
Oh my God. No.
Well, they picked up, they what they ended up doing was putting a table, bullhorn, right outside on the across the street from Greater Emmanuel Baptist Church.
Oh, my God. That is
so when they came out, of church, they were out there just, like, harassing them. And so if you know how they said rhetoric they talk.
Yeah.
They had one, and they were talking all that rhetoric about whatever they believe in. You know, and they wear those garbs. You know, they dress with those clothes on and stuff like that.
Yeah, say that they are the true Israelites. But what I thought he was talking about was the protesters for Roe versus Wade, because I heard they were protesting at the Catholic churches. That's why I was asking you, was it them or not knowing it was the Israelites? Wow.
Yeah, Israelites.
Bad look. Why they picked right from across from a church?
I told Robert they used to be in front of the convent. We don't pay them no mind. You walk right by them.
Okay.
I don't get all upset about the people.
They used to be in the commercial area on Fulton Street.
But a lot of times now, sometimes they go and they want to harass Christians, so they stand in front of stuff like that. But they have definitely been on 145th Street in front of Convent Avenue Baptist Church in the past.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they practically lived on 125th Street. Like everywhere you turned, they were there.
Okay.
And I just want to share one more thing. You know, Valerie said she's not going to come to the retreat.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah, she told me that last night. She's not feeling it, and she didn't get her stuff in time and all that kind of stuff. So she's going to pass on this one, and she'll just try to get ready for hours, you know.
Oh, okay.
So I sent my money in. I sent some money in. And wait and see what happens when the next payment is due.
Yeah.
But
I didn't get any
information.
You didn't get any email? Did you send your money in? No?
Yes.
Well, it'll come. You'll get it.
Oh, okay. Because I know that's
It's still some time away because I haven't gotten any additional emails either from that first one. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll get it through you, basically. That'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'll keep you all abreast.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anyway, it was fun. It was enlightening. Glad that you were all able to come on. Sorry, Evangelist Coates got cut off, but I'm going to call her and see if she's okay. Thanks again. Love you all. Have a blessed night.
Have a good night. Oh, Lady Nadine, can you tell Pastor to check Block Talk email? Because the email from Block Talk, because they're saying that, you know, the payment did not go through. How is it that every month the payment go through? Now all of a sudden the payment didn't go through. But can you tell him, because they're talking now that we may lose the premium. So can you just tell him to check the email if he have to go into my email and check the emails that they sent out?
So they send the email to your personal email account?
Yeah, they send it to me. Normally, they usually send
so
it to
forward it. But forward the email.
I don't know how to forward it. But all you got to do is go into my email and read it.
I don't know how to go into it. I can't go in. I don't know how to go into your
not
email.
Not you, Pastor.
Oh, he knows how to go into
he
your
knows
email.
How to get in there. Yeah.
Oh,
just
brother.
Tell him to speak to, you know, see what's going on with them. Because I don't want them to interrupt the program. Because they're taking
no,
the money out of my account every month. So I don't understand why all of a sudden they have a problem. It's the same account number.
And it doesn't come out of the church account? It comes out of your personal account?
No, for the past 2 years, it's been coming out of my personal account.
And because that's how you wanted it, or what?
No, because we had so much problems back then.
Yeah.
So that's
all
why.
Right, we'll talk offline.
Yeah.
We'll talk offline. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank
all right.
you. Bye. I'm just closing out.